drums. Drums. When I was growing up, way back in the dark ages, there was Gene Krupa.
Right? And Buddy Rich.
And Buddy Rich. And marching bands.
That's right.
There was symphonies timpani. And there was rhythmic music from Africa. The various sounds sort of seldom met up. They didn't interplay. When I was growing up, as with most things in life, by comparison to now, things appeared to be simpler. I mean, in those days, I can't remember hearing a mixture of the musics. Everything was so more compartmentalized. Now that's all changed. Hey, when Pavarotti can sing with Sting, you know the world is a different and better place. All of which leads me to our next genius of a guest. I think for most of us who know his work, our immediate association is with his driving, drumming, with, for, and of the Grateful Dead. Yes, our guest is indeed the scholar of rhythm, as well as performer, author of much that's been written on the subject of ethnomusicology, Mickey Hart. Care to share the experience? Our phone number 1-800-222-KABC. Mickey Hart, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you for inviting me here. It's good to be here.
I think if I was a brilliant drummer, even a good drummer, nothing would bug me more than people saying that the instruments are non-melodic.
Oh, well. You would just be misinformed, that's all. I mean, they are certainly melodic, but they don't have variable pitch, too many of them. They have fixed pitch, but if you use enough of them, you can get melodies out of almost anything, and if you're good enough, you can coax just about anything out of a drum.
Are there any peoples whose skills you not only respect, and I know you respect many, but you actually envy?
Oh, of course. I mean, they're the Zakir Hussain and the Giovanni Hidalgos, the virtuoso players of the world. There are a few of them that have taken the drums to a virtuoso status, and they're like the Mozarts of their instruments, and they've been bred and created almost for this task, you know, hundreds of years of family involvement in the instrument. I mean, this is beyond just being good on an instrument. You're sort of bred for it.
And yet, you know, I'll wager there are people listening right now who will say the sound of a drum or drums is uncivilized. What does civilized mean if that's uncivilized?
Well, I don't know if it has to do with civilization or not, but I know that mostly the white anthropologist who looked at the drum around the turn of the century and they wrote about the primitiveness of these instruments were wrong. And they are complex and they're highly, they're very powerful instruments, and they were used in a lot of rituals and rites. And yeah. So when these rituals were seen and recorded, they weren't understood. So the drum was sort of relegated to a second and third rate position in the Western orchestra. But now with these new virtuoso players bringing the drum up to a world-class, you know, instrument, everything has changed now.
Where did you learn? How did you learn? Was it at your father's knee?
Well, it was at my mom's knee. My dad left when I was really young.
He was a bad guy, wasn't he?
He was not a good guy. No, he was sort of a con man kind of guy. And Momsy saw early on that I liked loud things.
Oh, how many mothers in this world say, "Now give the boy some drums because I really want to hear that coming out of his room." She did?
No, you have to have a special kind of a mom for that. She tried to keep it away from me for a while, but I just kept going back to it. So she realized that it was no point in hiding it, and she sort of encouraged me after that, because she was a drummer herself. So she knew that there was this certain kind of a drive that you just can't stop, a certain kind of enthusiasm. So she nurtured it. She was a big heroine.
Now, she was a drummer, but of a different sort. And let's go back to your father for a moment. He was a regimental drummer.
A rudimental drummer. But it's like a regimental drummer in a way. It sounds like it. It's a marching band.
Well, that's what I meant.
It's sort of like more sophisticated.
Well, in Britain,
we
call it regimental.
Yes, that's true. That's true. It is of the regiment, and it comes from war, and it's now, we have it as now it's pomp and circumstance, because there are no more wars with men, you know, marching off the drums. So the drum, it took a role in the post-military kind of
I'm conjuring up for no particular reason pictures of a man with the scarrel of the bagpipe leading the men to their death.
That's
usually
right.
The first one shot down was the guy with the bagpipe or the guy with the drum.
Or the flag bearers, one of the three.
But then the kind of drumming that your father did, mm-hmm. and those who plays with bands of any sort, it's highly skilled.
Very, very well-developed music. It's highly skilled, and you have to be very good to do it. But rudimental drumming and this kind of drumming is for marching. There's a lot of other kind of drums out there in the world that don't march. They rock, they groove, they dance, they do other things than march. So
Rock, Groove, and Dance. What a great name for a law firm.
yes.
So, do you like noise?
I love noise. Noise is really interesting to me. It's more interesting than the tamer sounds. Yes, it certainly is, because you don't know where it's coming from, and you can't put it back in its cage once it's out, and it's really thrilling, and it gives you a shot of adrenaline that the more subtle or the littler sounds won't give you.
I thought of you the other day. I was visiting in a church, and they were playing the music not on a big organ, but playing it on a guitar. And I suddenly thought, I wonder, would they ever permit drums in a church?
Oh, you bet.
You bet.
You bet.
Said the drummer.
You bet. I mean, there's a lot of churches around the world, a lot of religious ceremonies that use drums as their, you know, as the primary focus of it. In the West, it's just a bit different.
Why?
Well, because we come from a different kind of, the religions in the West don't use drums. They go to the ecstatic states, not to the trance states. But you go into the South and the Baptist world and you'll find lots of drums.
How interesting. When we began, I played something from the 1990 Planet Drum. Contemporarily, there is Mystery Box. It's a brand new CD. In fact, you won't find it right now, so maybe we're doing the FM bit. We're a little bit ahead of most people. Mm-hmm. What am I listening to?
Well, you're listening to The Engine from Planet Drum with a acapella vocal group, the Mint Juleps, on the top.
He calls it Full Steam Ahead. Our guest, Mickey Hart, a man for so many years, an essential component of the engine, to use the word you use, that drove the Grateful Dead. A man who's traveled the world in search of the musics of the world. Get a meet with him? Our phone number, 1-800-222-KABC. This is African, isn't it? Where's it from?
No, this is Indonesia.
Indonesian?
Yes.
Sounds almost like a Jew's harp.
It is. They have it in many different parts of the world.
Ah, the Indonesian harp.
Yeah, well, it's out of wood, and in some places it's metal, and it's straw, all kinds of things.
Our guest, a citizen of Planet Drum, one of those rare people who can complete this sentence and do so with considerable authority. If drums could speak, they would say...
What would they say?
I am the foggiest.
I am here. Listen to me.
Our guest is Mickey Hart of the Grateful Dead. This I could find in the Library of Congress, couldn't
I? You can now, since we ferreted it out a few years ago. The library has one of the greatest collections of musics in the world, indigenous music. Have over 50,000 recordings there. This is one of them on the Ryko Disc collection.
You know, you are such an international human being, as is the group The Grateful Dead. But you personally, that I think no greater tribute could be paid to you or by you than being accepted as the person who's giving to the world for the Olympic Games their theme music, their theme sound.
Mm-hmm.
Have you already composed it?
It's composed, yeah, it's done.
Played by whom, by what, and how?
Many mass drummers, percussionists in Atlanta. It's a mass percussion kind of a thing, and it's the call to nations. It's the thing that opens the Olympics, and also it will close the opening of the Olympics.
I was going to say, could you play it now? You could.
I cannot reveal anymore, or else I will spoil your fun. Yeah. And for 3.5 billion people that will be watching it, it's an enormous event. But I can tell you this, there won't be a lot of piccolos on the field, Michael.
Oh, darn.
I'm sorry.
And there won't be sort of fanfare trumpets all the while. These are going to be drums. But well, that's what is in common to all the people of the world.
Well, the kind of drums that will be on there won't be military drums. I went out of my way not to compose for this pomp and for the military. I wanted the people to come together in rhythm and to feel the power of the world's percussion.
Did you ever see the show Stomp?
Of course.
What do you think of it?
I thought it was excellent. Wonderful use of percussion.
Anything that uses percussion is wonderful.
Not really. It's very difficult to make percussion together. because the instrument, the nature of the instrument, the short, sharp sound bite of it can get in the way. No, these guys are really good, and they have a great theme, and no, it's not easy at all.
And with the Olympic Games in mind, I remember the Grateful Dead. Didn't you actually help the Lithuanian team get to the Olympic Games?
last Olympics, yeah, we sort of sponsored them and made a commemorative T-shirt and helped with to finance their team as well this year. We're doing it again this year. So, and they won the bronze back then, and, you know, seems like it's a good luck omen for them.
How did you meet up with the Grateful Dead?
Oh, jeez. One day I met Billy Kreutzmann, who was the drummer in the Grateful Dead. It was at the Fillmore. We were watching Count Basie, and I was hanging out with Basie. And someone introduced us, and we became real good friends. We went out that night and played on everything in the city, cars, lampposts, everything. It was quite an evening. That was it. We started right then. You know, I sat in, and that was it.
So you've never been a failure?
Well, a failure?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had some bad nights, Michael. You know, everybody has bad nights, but...
Yeah, but you can go backstage and say, we're still the Grateful Dead.
That's right. And we can always fight again, play again the next day, of course.
Gary's driving, wants to speak with you. Mickey Hart's our guest. I'm Michael Jackson. Good morning.
Good morning, Mickey. How are you? Good morning, Michael.
Morning.
Good morning.
Mickey, we've sort of grown up together, as I'm sure many people have told you, and you've guided me through various stages of fitness over the years. I'm curious to know how... How did you fit in with the band, and how did Bill fit in with the band? Bill Kreutzmann, were you more involved with composition, or how does one band utilize two drummers, and what roles did you both play?
Good questions.
Well, we didn't look at it as two drummers, really. We tried to look at it as one major one, you know, with four arms and legs, and to create some engine, like like twin screws. You could look at it on a boat, for instance, and it allowed for more rhythmic dexterity. And I did more composing in the band, but Kreutzmann was central. He was central to the groove.
Thank you for that call. Do drummers ever have off days? Days when it just doesn't work for you?
Of course, of course. But when you have two drummers, you're able to lean on each other a little bit, you know, and a certain kind of a relation that we had was. Very special.
So it's really ensemble work. You're not trying to prove that you're better than the other guy.
No, it can't be. Once you start doing that, then you can't do two drummers. You can't think like that.
Okay, again, the current CD, not yet out, is called Mystery Box. We're opening it wide right here with Mickey Hart. And it's a different sound, but it's beautifully his. Down the Road.
Down the road to Union Station, running through the fog. I saw Joe Hill last night, a grinning like a dog. I understand they did you in for everyone to see. He smiled, shook his head, that's a lie, said he. I've been on a mountaintop observing from a cloud. I've been in the hearts of workers, milling with the crowd. My tears are shed for freedom and equality of means. My blood and perspiration, all the gears of your machines.
From Mystery Box. Okay, I've got to ask you the basic, simple question. Jerry Garcia, what did he mean to you?
Oh, Jerry? He meant a lot to me, besides him being my best friend. He was a great teacher. He was a good, you know, he had a great sense of humor, and he liked things a little strange and weird, you know. And
that's why the two of you got on so
well. It was a great relationship, you know.
The reason I bring it up is because Down the Road has a different... chorus, a different verse, actually.
The last verse, the fourth verse, yeah.
And this part of it is actually a tribute to this best friend of yours, the late, great Jerry Garcia.
From the corner of my eye, I saw the sun explode. I didn't look directly, because it would have burned my soul. When the smoke and the thunder cleared enough to look around, I heard a sweet guitar lick, an old familiar sound. I heard a laugh and recognized come rolling from the earth. I saw it rise into the skies like lightning giving birth. It sounded like Garcia, but I couldn't see the face. Just the beard and the glasses and a smile on his face.
Down the road. We're going down the road, memory lane, and looking to the future with Mickey Hart. I'm Michael Jackson. This is 790 KABC Talk Radio.
summer, isn't it?
Yes. Now, tell me you're not sort of bouncing on your butt with this one as you're driving.
Come on.
If you're a fan and follower of the Grateful Dead, you really don't need a biography from me about our guest, Mickey Hart. But if there are 14 or 15 people around who don't know, let it be known that my guest is a wonderfully talented musician, entertainer, drummer, a man who has much more on his mind than rhythm. He's a percussionist. He's a historian. He's an ethnomusicologist, things like that. Mickey Hart, he's son of a drummer. You mentioned Bill Kreutzmann, so did the caller who called through. I remember the first time we met. Wasn't Bill here in the studio with
us? Yes, he was here once.
And he told me he was kicked out of the band because as a school child because he had no rhythm?
Yeah.
Can it be acquired, my lord?
No, he had rhythm. The person who kicked him out didn't. No, he had it from birth. It's something you're born with. You can't learn about this kind of stuff.
Music's much in the news today. Here's a story. Just Sing No, Music Industry Plans Drug Program. Mm-hmm. And that says at a June 20th meeting, an intervention subcommittee of music insiders and drug specialists will lay out a plan to hold people accountable. This is Michael Green speaking, the president of...
Good man.
Good man, president of the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences.
I just think it's a hopeless cause, but he's a good man.
That was my question.
Yeah, I mean, drugs are linked to creativity. I mean, these people are going over the edge, you know. I mean, they're using it for recreational means. But the history on psychoactive drugs and art is long and varied. And I doubt if they're going to be able to missionize this.
And yet, at all your concerts, at the Grateful Dead concerts for years, there were people using, but there were people on the stage saying, don't.
Yeah, well, I mean, we never advocated the use to anybody. I mean, what we did do to our own bodies and to our own minds and collectively to achieve an end is our own business. But, you know, I mean...
Would I know...
But when you poison your body with something and you can't perform and you lose your life, that's not art. That's not music.
Can you tell, as I started to say, would I know? Forget me, I'm ignorant. But in your case, would you know whether a drummer or a musician on any instrument is using drugs to enhance his performance?
Not really, unless it was obvious, unless he was falling apart or... it's really hard to tell. I mean, people can camouflage the use of drugs now because they know how to use drugs.
Other story in the news this morning, record companies face new pressure over the lyrics in rap and rock music. And it's Bill Bennett taking off again, the former education secretary. He's set to renew a campaign targeting several companies. They want the companies to stop selling music laced with lyrics they consider degrading and indefensible. Mm-hmm. Any reaction to that?
Well, you can't really legalize art, you know, and what comes from the subconscious. That's not anybody's concern. And actually, they should be welcoming this, you know. I mean, and I understand the labeling aspect of it. I mean, when you go to a store, you'd like to know what kind of meat you're buying and what the nutritional value is, and the same thing with music. But these are very touchy subjects because you're talking about art, which is a very personal thing. And who can legislate against art? Who has the right to do that? I mean, you know, that's absurd. You know, art is... It comes from a place that is, there are no laws, really, there. And, you know, you're attributing, you know, the law of the land now, 1996, and to something that's it's just not done.
Ain't going to work.
No, I ain't.
Never heard dirty words in a drum solo. I've heard bells and chimes and gongs and drums and cymbals, and what am I missing?
No, you can't legalize art or make it illegal. It's just not done.
Roger, you're on 790 KABC Talk Radio.
Good morning.
It is.
Yes, Michael and Mickey.
Good morning.
Interesting segment on drums.
Thank you.
I also play professionally, Mickey. And just checking to see if you're doing any symposiums or seminars in the area.
Not really. I'm pretty busy now with the Mystery Box and with the Olympics and all of that. So,
any local concerts?
We're going to be playing down here somewhere.
Oh, good. I went to somewhere once.
Yeah, it'll be a good place to go to and a good place to come from.
It's in the neighborhood of not far from here.
It's the same place, pretty much.
Interesting that you reflect on some of the, you know, some of the bad days that you play. You know, you come with somebody else's chops, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of reflect on that.
Well, you remember the bad times as well. You know, I mean, those are the times that bring you together somehow, you know, because the good times are easy. You don't remember the good times as much as you do the times that, you know, try your soul.
Yeah, and you utilize drum machines too, also?
Or no, I'm not using any. I'm not using any drum machines, but I'm using processed percussion that I access in the digital domain.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Keep on drumming. Thank you very much indeed for your call. By the way, someplace and somewhere. Your tour is going to stop August 1st at the Ventura County Fairgrounds. Then August the 2nd at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater.
Sounds familiar. I'll be there somewhere.
You'll be there somewhere, and probably with music like this taken from the latest Mystery Box. Only the strange remain.
I've been searching the sectors, both private and dark, with the eye of a witness and a silent mustard. Seen everything that goes on in the night. Things that are twisted and high from the light. Things that they're under, oh, down stone. Fresh like a fever on a platter of bone. Blacker than blackness, whiter than white.
So, Mickey, what is the Mystery Box?
Well, the Mystery Box is a vehicle, I think, to explore the new rhythms, you know, of the next century. That's what it is to me. I mean, it is a series of pop songs, but beyond that, it's a vehicle, I think, to go beyond that medium and to find out what's up ahead.
Strange for me.
K ABC Talk Radio. I'm Michael Jackson. Our guest is Mickey Hart, the Grateful Dead. This is the Dancing Sorcerer from Planet Drum. Mm-hmm. Takes us back to 1990. Were there halcyon days? I mean, was there a golden era for the Grateful Dead, or always as good?
No, I thought that in the beginning, you know, for the first few years, first 4 years, it was incredible because we were discovering everything for the first time. And then you spend the rest of your life, you know, plowing those kind of fields and exploring those fields that you fall on in the early days, you know, and pretty much, and that's what we did. But in the beginning, everything was fresh and new and exciting and full of energy, and we were all young then.
Yeah. Mike, you're on KABC Talk Radio with Mickey Hart. I'm Michael Jackson. Mike, Mickey, and Michael.
Yes, hi, Mickey.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. I read your book about 5 or 6 years ago, so it's been some time, but there were a few questions. I guess I'll pick the what I think is the most important one. You seem kind of excited about what might be underneath in the archives at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., and you seemed kind of frustrated about not being able to get under there to discover things, and I was wondering if in the past 5 or 6 years you were able to do that.
Yes, I have. Actually, I went over to the Library of Congress, where we have a relationship, a strong relationship, and they have a larger archive even than the Smithsonian, and we've been able to release a few of them, 4 or 5 of them now, from the library, and we'll be releasing about 4 or 5 of them this year from the library. So they allowed me to go in there and ferret out these indigenous musics, these very rare and sometimes endangered musics from around the world.
Endangered? Why? How?
Well, they're being taken away from them. I mean, when a culture goes, their music goes, and this music contains all the dreams and the stories, the histories of these people, because it was an oral tradition, most of this. So it's being endangered by the economic, social, political ramifications in those countries. Music sort of is a good way to get into a culture. You're able to see it, hear it. It's one of those sort of a skeleton key into the culture.
Thank you for your call, Mike. So drums have only had a history of about 20,000 years?
Well, we don't really know how long drums have been going, but it's about that long.
Any particular part of the world that's taught you the most about drumming?
Well, Africa and North India. Probably the most muscular of all the percussive traditions on the planet. I would have to say that that's the mother lode in Africa especially.
So, okay, the music I'm listening to now, I know it's called Dance of the Hunter's Fire, I think. I hear so many rhythms at the same time, and I get the feeling of different sources. When you said the word India, I almost thought Indian, but it's not, is it?
No, this is
African?
Not. No, we've taken musics from the world, and we put them together in a new brew. That's what this is all about.
Funny, we've taken the
indigenous. We've taken the indigenous musics, but we're not indigenous people. Except we're indigenous to America.
Yeah.
And
And a lot of these people have lived in America, and they've lived with the influence of the world's rhythm for all this time, and now they're playing and reinterpreting these rhythms, and we do it together. And that's what these ensembles are all about. They're certainly not to recreate the indigenous music as it was done in the culture.
This is Dance of the Hunter's Fire. Mickey Hart and friends. I know what the drums are saying. They're saying Steve is on the line. Good morning, Steve.
Hello there. Hi, Mickey. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I got a couple questions. Hopefully, if I can get them in. Mickey, was there any song that the Dead did that meant more to you than any others?
Well, I liked Fire on the Mountain. That was especially a favorite of mine. And I liked all the Jerry and Hunter songs. Those were especially a favorite of mine. Black Peter and Ripple and all those kind of tunes were great.
Great. Also, after really killer shows, me and my friends amongst the crowd, we were always aware of how there was a hush over the crowd as you would walk out, like after, you know, mm-hmm. incredible shows. Did mm-hmm. that extend to the band?
I didn't quite understand.
Yeah, I did the
question.
But say it again. It's a nice one.
Well, there was a hush. It was like, you know, you'd walk out after the show, you know, like I remember an 82 show at Kaiser, and it was during New Year's, and that was the first time I was really aware of it, and it was just like everybody was silent. Or after the Greeks in 84 on July 13th, it was just, you just walk around, the crowd would walk around dumbfounded. And did that extend to the band at all?
Well, no, we try to keep our wits about all of this. I mean, this is what we do. I mean, we can't go over the line, as it were. I mean, we have to be able to maintain this rapturous state out there, so we have to be sort of in control of our emotions. So we just do the job, and we go back, and then we sort of vibrate ourselves down over the hours.
Right.
How do you vibrate yourself down over the hours?
I breathe deep.
You've been doing that here during the commercial breaks.
I don't know if you're aware of this. I'm always deep breathing and stretching, and that's the way I center myself.
Along those lines, what's happening with the Giotto Monks and your involvement?
Big smile.
We recorded a double CD of them last year when they were over to my studio, and they allowed me to overdub them. So this multiphonic choir now is over themselves three times. They had never allowed me, or I've never really asked them, to do overdub before with earphones and so forth, because this is sacred music. But they allowed me to do it, and it's incredible. So you can expect a double CD out sometime later in the year.
Steve,
yes, sir?
Do you know where and how he lives and how he records?
As far as Mickey, up in the Bay.
Well, no, beyond the Bay, actually. Let's get him to tell us. And while you do so, I want to ferret through the CD. What do you particularly like from Mystery Box, beside the one that we played? We played Down the Road.
Mm-hmm. Well, Where Love Goes is a beautiful song about, you know, violence. About battering.
Do you think that most of your songs have a message?
Oh, of course, because it's Hunter. Hunter's writing these brilliant lyrics for me. You know, I mean, anytime you have Robert Hunter writing words for you, you know that you have strong emotional content and the heavy lyrical content. But it was all based on the chant. You know, I would try to get it into that kind of a zone. I didn't try to make popular music out of this one.
So you work up Sonoma County?
That's correct.
Got your own Michael Jackson Neverland.
Well, it's sort of a poor man's version of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it Neverland, but it's it has a certain kind of ethereal quality.
Bucolic? Yeah. In the forest?
It is in the Redwood Forest, yes.
That's and you do it in a barn?
In a large barn that I built to record in. And it's a nice setting.
That's where music comes from. And love goes.
Where love goes, I will go too. Up 29 flights of stairs. I won't say that I'll be true.
We are the Grateful Living who love the Grateful Dead. This is what's happened. This is a new song. Hey, this is Brit!
It is. It really is. These girls are from England. They're from London. Six beautiful singers. Four of them are sisters. Called the Mint Juleps.
But they genuinely are sisters.
Oh, they really are sisters. Yeah. This is not kidding around. And
When Hunter wrote the words, I realized that I really need singers for this. And Jerry sent me to a Spike Lee video called Do It Acapella.
And he had them in it.
And Spike had it in, had them in the video, and that's where I found them. And I went to England and ferreted them out and brought them back here and tracked them.
How rewarding it must be to find people like this. From Mystery Box, soon to be released, Where Love Goes.
Our guest, Mickey Hart, the one and only. I'm Michael Jackson on 790 KABC Talk Radio. I'm Michael Jackson. I'm with Mickey Hart.
Are you? Here we have a Jerry Garcia Hunter collaboration. You recognize this one?
Friend of the Devil?
You want to go on to the more difficult questions? Because you got that one right.
I lit up from Reno, I was trailed by 20 hands. Didn't get to sleep that night till the morning came around. Said I'd run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before day.
This is vintage Grateful Dead.
Yeah, it is. This is when we were in our country western stage, you know, our cowboy boots and our cowboy hats, and we were cowboys on the edge of the western world here.
I remember one time doing this show, and I was knocking country music. First of all, I made the mistake of calling it country and western. Ain't no more country and western. Country, right? I'm a country boy. Actually, I must be. My son's called Alan. Alan Jackson. And I was knocking. I said, it's all about Sion and Dion and going away. And the vice president was listening, and he sent me an Anne Murray CD. Do you think if I knocked Rolls Royces, they'd send me? No.
Actually, he's a fan.
Al Gore is a real fan.
Oh yeah. He knows the words. He's a friend and a fan. And Tipper is a drummer.
I know she's a photographer. I didn't know she was a drummer as well.
In her living room, she's got a drum set.
Drums in the living room. Deep breathing from Ken.
A piano and a drum set.
A piano?
A piano.
Yeah. I didn't know them people play pianos.
They play pianos and drums there in the vice president's house.
Hey, Kenneth.
Good morning to Mickey and Michael.
Good morning.
My question is about the concert followers, the actual cult following. It was my good fortune to attend a couple of concerts, the last one being up in Oakland a few years ago.
Yeah.
It was really a surrealistic sight. The parking lot at night, while the concert went on inside, was a bigger, perhaps, show outside, like a huge gypsy camp.
Yeah.
Converted vans, carts with trailers, old hippies.
My daughter used to go to some of those concerts, and she said, as much as the concert, it was the people she used to watch.
Absolutely. I enjoyed the show in the parking lot, and these people had been following the band for maybe 25 years, just from concert to concert around the country year after year, whole cult following. I don't know any other band who had that. And I would like to ask Mickey, where have all these people gone, and where do they have to go now that the band is disbanded?
They're not governors and senators, neurosurgeons.
They're out there, and they will go to whatever they have to go to find this feeling again. And it won't be easy to find, but they will. They've learned that the experience of being together and celebrating life around music is an important one, and they will find a place to meet, whether it be at the Further Festival or wherever. They have themselves now. They've created themselves, these deadheads. We certainly didn't create them. They are their own invention, and they will continue to make news. They will continue to get together and celebrate.
Thank you for that. Do you make better music in the barn, in the forest, in the redwoods, than you would on a stage with a concert?
No. Live performance is the real meat. That's where you really get into it. I mean, you can explore the edges and have beautiful musical excursions inside of a studio, but I'm a live performer, and the real magic happens in real time in front of people.
Ian, you're on KABC Talk Radio.
Yes, hi Mickey. First off, I'd like to say that I'm excited about meeting you tonight.
You are?
Yes,
you
I
two
am.
Have a date?
Yeah, I guess so.
I didn't know you had a date with him.
The Mickey Box
The Mickey Box Mystery Tour.
Sorry about that.
Oh, tell me about that. What's
that? We're having tonight for the album, bring together some people in Los Angeles.
Oh, nice. You'll recognize him, sir. He has drumsticks.
Okay, I'll look for you.
Chicken. Louise, you're on KABC Talk Radio. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Hello, Michael and Hello. Mickey. I'm so glad finally you're letting a woman on.
We would never keep him off, madam.
In the beginning of the program, you said that drums were primitive, and I would like to say that they are primal. And I think Mr. Hart has the appropriate name for his profession, because it is the first sound we all hear being under our mother's hearts in her belly
the
for
beat,
9 months.
The beat, yeah.
And that is the beat, and that's, I think, where the sound of the drum comes from, is from the mother's
heart. Are you a musician?
No, I'm not. I'm a lover of music, and I'm married to a Russian accordion.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, we do have a primal, a rhythmic imprint before we even hit
I
the
never
air.
Thought of it that way.
Oh, the mother's heartbeat is 120 dB in your ear for, you know, 6-7 months before you even, you get out of that environment. No, it's definitely a rhythmic imprint. It has nothing to do really with a drum, but it is a rhythmic imprint. A drum is an instrument that you play that... It's different. It plays. It makes great rhythm.
It's interesting about the mother, though, because, and I thank you for that call.
Very good.
I can only
Very
think of one language, and I think it's Japanese, where the word for mother does not start with the sound.
Mm.
And I've often wondered whether that came about as a result of a child suckling at the mother's breast.
Perhaps. Mm. I don't know about that. Interesting.
We are learning things together.
Yes, indeed.
Final moments with Mickey Hart. Margie, you get the final moments. What's on?
Hi, Mickey.
Hello.
I can't thank you enough. I'm in my 60s. I started seeing you in Denver or Colorado at Red Rocks.
Yeah.
Introduced mm-hmm. my son to you, and then he wound up doing some graphics for your show.
Oh, great.
So you go way, way back with us.
What did you like about him?
What do I like about him? I like their music. I like, he has a daughter now, and he was taking her at 2 years old to the concerts.
She's now 3 years old,
yes,
isn't she?
Right. Yeah.
Does she have great rhythm?
Oh, she's a dancer.
Hey, in our final few seconds, what's mm-hmm. the difference between drumming and rhythm?
Well, drumming is a way of marking time using rhythm,
Thank
and
you.
Rhythm is something that is a motion, and it is a way of going. A rhythm is the way you move your feet, the way you breathe, the oceans, the tides, the moon, you know, all
cycles.
Of these things, cycles, these are rhythms, you know, and the body, the lungs, opening and closing of the heart, all of this is rhythm. It's not drumming, but drums are a great way of laying down rhythm.
I wish I could do it the way you can do it. Very, very, very few in the
You've
world.
You've got rhythm too, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
You do.
I'm cyclical. Mickey Hart, thank you for joining us.
Thank you,
Mickey Hart.
Thank you very much.